Time once again on Robin Hood Radio for our appearance by Willie Hallahan and Sporting a Cause. His website, sportingacause.com. Not only can you go there to find out information, but you can actually get information about different events that are fundraisers for sporting events throughout our tri-state region. Willie, happy Sunday morning to you.
Good morning, Marshall. Same to you. We're all alive and well here in the midst of a winter event.
It's a typical winter event. Snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Take your pick. Whatever.
The big three.
As Hank Kramer, my old flight instructor, used to say to me, whatever likes your board. And I never figured that out, but I say it to this day. All right.
And you remember it after all these years.
Well, when he's your flight instructor, you remember everything.
I guess you do.
All right. Well, we are now into winter full time, and there's wintertime events going on. And I received a whole bunch of information from the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, of which you, of course, are a member of. So we have a lot to talk about, really.
Yeah, we do. We do. Although the upcoming week is pretty lean in events, I don't think there are any. The following weekend, when we get to the end of January, the beginning of February, there's a ton of things going on. And the Thursday through Sunday of January 31st through February 3rd is another curling event in Norfolk, at the Norfolk Curling Club. I've spoken of curling several times, and I'll speak of it again because, one, it's a cool event. There's only one other curling venue in Connecticut, and that's down in Bridgeport. So if you ever wanted to see curling, absent the Norfolk Curling Club, you'd have to travel miles and miles, probably to the Cape or Boston or elsewhere. But anyway, there's another Bonspiel, that's the name for their competitions, coming at the Norfolk Curling Club in Norfolk, Thursday through Sunday. They're free to watch, and I encourage anybody to. They had a Learn to Curl event over the weekend, and I'm waiting to hear how that went. I hope it was well attended. For $35, you could go and get on the ice and learn how to deliver a stone. It's very cool. I've done it. And they'll probably have another open house sometime in the spring at the end of their season. But anyway, the end of January, the 31st through February 3rd, the Curling Club Bonspiel in Norfolk. Then February 1st through 3rd, is the 22nd annual Jimmy Welsh Hockey Tournament up at Berkshire School that benefits the Berkshire Rattlers. That's a youth hockey league similar to the Salisbury Redhawks. And February 2nd, Saturday of February 2nd, there's the Under the Roof Number 7 Volleyball Tournament. This is over at the Mid-Hudson Athletic Center. My territory goes over to the Poughkeepsie area. And it's sponsored by Roof Time, and that benefits the Hudson River Housing Organization. They provide housing for homeless people. It's a very worthy cause. Now then, the next weekend is Jump Fest. It involves much of my time because I'm one of the directors. And this is a three-day event. It's February 8th through 10th. That's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's the best ski jumpers in the East congregate at Jump Fest. It's a very important jump for the athletes. They're all youngsters. They're as young as 12 going off the big 70-meter hill and up to 19. Actually, they have a master's class. Older people jump too, not many of them. I'm not sure how many still have their knees working. But for the youngsters, this is a very, very important weekend, Sunday especially. It's the U.S. Eastern Ski Jumping Championships. It's important to the kids because they're vying for a spot on the Junior Nationals, which is the one step below the Olympics. If a youngster makes the Olympic team, they went through the Junior Nationals program first. It's a big, big deal. At the end of the competition on Sunday, the junior national team for the East is named in Salisbury. It's very prestigious for us to be able to do that. So ski jumping throughout the weekend is a big deal with varying degrees of importance. Now, Friday night, there's ski jumping under the lights. These are the same kids, by the way, who jump all 3 days. Friday night is jumping under the lights, which is very cool. It's a target jump. They're not jumping for points or style or anything like that, or even distance. They're just trying to land on a target that's been painted on the landing hill. And there are prizes, and it's a fun night for them. And also on Friday night, maybe even the bigger event, is the human dog sled race. I have it listed on my website as a separate event, although it's part of a Jump Fest. And this is something that's not practiced very many places in the United States. Michigan, I think Michigan State University maybe had invented it, perhaps. But anyway, they have it out in Michigan, and they run down Main Street with all these teams right on the bare pavement. You know, it doesn't matter. And there are a couple other places. I haven't Googled it lately, but it doesn't happen very often in very many places. So it's a fun event. You know, there are 6-person teams, 5 people pulling one person on a sled that the team designs, and they're very innovative. Run the gamut from stripped down piece of plastic to very ornate. There's a team that plays every year, that competes every year, the Vikings, and the first few years they had a front half of a wooden canoe that they use as their sled, which much to the delight of the fans, they always get the People's Choice Award because of their outfits and their sled. But then they realize that they're very slow with that, so they've had different designs. Anyway, there's men's teams, women's teams, mixed teams, and that's held almost at the end of the evening after the target jumping is done, and it's fun. It's Friday night's kind of if each day has a personality. The Friday night of Jump Fest is kind of the rock and roll day of Jump Fest. There are bonfires going, people are yelling and screaming and laughing at the teams, and there are thrills and spills. Anyway, it's a fun time.
And if anybody wants to know, I'll never forget the first year you held this where you have the people with the sleds on YouTube. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, you can still find it.
The girl got run over by one, but she was all right. But it has like thousands and thousands of views.
Yeah.
The first year that happened, the second year you also had somebody run in bare feet, yeah, which was absolutely, so it really is a pretty wacky.
It is. You know, when we first started, we had very few rules. You don't want to be overburdened with rules, but that's how we started off. After the second year, we had to add the rule, you can't run in bare feet. You just can't do that. The guy who did it was kind of an extreme bicyclist, so he's into pain and all that sort of thing. But, you know, for the rest of the world, no bare feet. But it is fun. And if you can only make it to one of the 3 days, I would suggest Friday night. It might be cold, but we got bonfires. You dress warm. You can get everything from hot chocolate to hot toddies, and it's just an enjoyable time. And then the next 2 days, the Saturday and Sunday, are both daytime ski jumping, and that's more serious ski jumping, and that's worth seeing too, because again, these are kids who are serious about their sport, and it's important to them if they can make the junior national team. Saturday is the Salisbury Invitational. That's Salisbury's own trophies awarded to the winners. And Sunday, as I said earlier, is the U.S. Eastern Ski Jumping Championship. So 2 days of great ski jumping to see. And if you've never seen, I say this, I've worn out the expression over the years, but if you've never seen ski jumping live, you've never seen the event. I've heard people say, I used to watch the wide world of sports and I've seen the Olympics. I said, yeah, but you've never seen it if you haven't seen it live. When you are right there on site and you see these kids, many of them as young as 12, going off the big tower, they're traveling, they leave the in-run, they take off at 50 miles an hour, sometimes faster. They're going up to 200 feet through the air, landing on the, at 50 miles an hour on the landing hill. You can hear it's pretty much right in front of you. You hear the skis slap on the landing hill, and the crowds go wild. Cowbells are the sound of choice to show your appreciation for outdoor sports. Someone asked me once, why cowbells? And not only in ski jumping, but at the Olympics, you've probably seen downhill races, people clang the bells. And the answer is that When you're wearing mittens or gloves, applause just isn't that impressive. So that's why they've chosen cowbells to show. But anyway, the sound of cowbells rings throughout the place, and it's just a fun experience that you should do at least once. And so many people have come after years and years of saying, you know what, I need to go. They finally go, and then they come every year thereafter because it's just so much fun.
It's you know, what's interesting is that you have the Friday night, which is almost like the NBA and the MLB. It's like the MLB home run contest and the NBA dunk contest. It's the fun side of ski jumping, where they target jumping. It's important that they hit the target, but that's fun and everything else. So that's the nice thing about Friday. But then you have your Saturday and Sunday events. And in the middle of your Saturday and Sunday events, once again, you have the snowball. And what I always found great about the snowball is, yeah, it raises money. It's all, but you also get to mingle and talk with the jumpers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the snowball is designed not necessarily to make money. We charge to get in, but we have costs, and it's not designed to be a huge fundraiser. We do make money, and that's great, but the experience is more important to us, and it's back at the White Hart where it always used to be. The last couple of years it's been at the White Hart, and that's pretty much home. Not pretty much. It absolutely is home to the snowball, and we're grateful to the White Hart for that partnership. And it is, you're right, it's a fun time, and the jumpers go and their families along with the town folk, and it is a fun time.
And it's interesting, you see the jumpers on a Saturday or Sunday when they're competing, okay? But you see them when they're not competing, and it's really like seeing a football player dressed in uniform and then the uniform off. They're totally, some are really kids, some are 65-year-old master jumpers, but it's amazing to talk to them all and see them all. That's truly the fun thing about, to me, always was the fun thing about the snowball.
Yeah, yeah. And as I've said before, it's a certain breed of youngster who gets involved with ski jumping in the first place. You know, it's a individual sport, first of all. It's not a team sport, but you develop a certain self-confidence to be able to leave the ground in your sport. And it shows when you talk to these people. You can tell a ski jumper. They might be 16, 17 years old, but they sound older than that when they're talking because they're self-assured. They have a self-confidence, and they speak with that confidence, and you can tell them. You can tell them a mile away. And that's one of the things we're sort of proud of, I guess you'd say, because we teach ski jumping. It's Wausau. It's our mission, really, and to see them come back years later, sometimes, and talk about what ski jumping meant in their lives. It's heartwarming.
And of course, all information on everything that's coming up on Jump Fest weekend is available at jumpfest.org.
Absolutely.
All right. And do you have anybody coming back to try to retire the cup this year?
I don't know. I haven't heard that. So there are years when we've kind of held our breath because as big a deal as that is. Yeah, if you win Sunday 3 days, 3 years in a row, or 3 years at all, it doesn't have to be in a row, then you would get the cup, which is like a $5,000 silver chalice. So when I say we hold our breath, you don't really want to see, you want to see it go, and you don't at the same time. But to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure if that's in danger this year or not.
All right, Willie, once again, jumpfest.org, and we'll check in with you next week.
Great. Thank you, Marshall.